Unforgettable Fire and Roxy Music with Virginia Plain to start the hour. 40 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. Now, aliens. Yes, they're still looking for them. A team of scientists will embark on a new international research project led by Harvard University to search for evidence of extraterrestrial life by looking for advanced technology it may leave behind. The Galileo project is led by the Harvard astronomy professor Avi Loeb. Loeb co-founded the project with Frank Laukin, CEO of Bruker Corporation, a Massachusetts-based manufacturer of scientific equipment. Now, given the recently discovered abundance of Earth-Sun systems, the Galileo project is dedicated to the proposition that humans can no longer ignore the possible existence of extraterrestrial technological civilizations, ETCs for short. Now, the project follows the US government's report from last month on a number of unidentified aerial phenomena that were reported by Navy personnel, and the interstellar pancake-shaped object that entered the solar system in 2017. Now, that did not resemble any previous observed comet or asteroid, and in turn sparked a debate among astronomers regarding its true origin. Rather than searching for electromagnetic signals, the Galileo project will search for physical objects associated with extraterrestrial technological equipment, also known as techno-signatures. Now, the project will follow three major avenues of research: obtain high-resolution images of UAPs through multi-detector sensors to discover their nature, search and conduct in-depth research on interstellar objects, and search for potential ETC satellites. It's very important that we keep in mind that the Galileo project is not for everything and it is not for everyone. As said a statement, it has a defined scope and it has limitations. We want to clear the fog through a transparent and scientific analysis by assembling our own data, not data based on government-owned sensors, because most of that data is classified. The project, named after the Italian astronomer Galileo Galilei, who's known for his pioneering use of telescopes, pledges to dare to look through new telescopes, both literally and figuratively. Sounds exciting. They are out there, aren't they? The Guardian says that more than one in three middle-aged British adults are suffering from at least two chronic health conditions, including recurrent back problems, poor mental health, high blood pressure, diabetes and high-risk drinking, according to research that warned that health in midlife is on the decline. The study of Generation X adults born in 1970 found that those who grew up in poorer families were 43% more likely to have multiple long-term health conditions than their peers from wealthier households. Those who had been overweight or obese as children, who had lower birth weights and who'd experienced mental health as teenagers, were also at increased risk of poor health in midlife. Now, David Gondek, the UCL researcher who authored the paper, said this study provides concerning new evidence about the state of the nation's health in midlife. It shows that a substantial proportion of the population is already suffering from multiple long-term physical and mental health problems in their late 40s, and also points to stark health inequalities which appear to begin early in childhood. USA Today says the House committee investigating the January the 6th Capitol insurrection held its first public hearing on Tuesday, vowing to get to the bottom of the attack and recounting the horrific abuse police officers suffered when they forced off the mob. The nearly four-hour hearing offered a harrowing account of officers beaten unconscious, tear-gassed, taunted with racial epithets, and attacks with the American flag by protesters, who was spurred by former President Donald Trump's false claim of a stolen election. And the committee will be guided solely by the facts, says Chair Benny Thompson in his opening statements, recounting the moments of that day drew emotion not only from the officers, but from the committee members. During the hearing, some lawmakers played footage of the insurrection, which at times left lawmakers visibly upset, with some breaking down in tears. And the Melbourne Age says that New South Wales has reported 177 new local COVID-19 cases, a record daily case total for Sydney's outbreak, and another person has died, the 11th death during the outbreak. New South Wales Health confirmed a woman in her 90s died at Liverpool Hospital on Tuesday. The New South Wales Chief Health Officer, Dr. Kerry Chant, said it was not related to the cluster at Liverpool Hospital. The woman was not vaccinated and tested positive on July the 24th.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. The prefects of the Almaraseme said there are no plans at the moment to order bars and restaurants to close early to slow the spread of coronavirus. In an interview with France Bleu Radio, Bernard Gonzalez said the local economy needed people to be spending money, and he hoped that measures already taken, such as the reintroduction of mask wearing in outdoor spaces, would have the desired effect. Some departments in France, including the Haute Corse, have already ordered bars and restaurants to close early in a bid to slow down the spread of the virus. Mr. Gonzalez said he hopes the message is getting through to the public about the seriousness of the situation, adding that this week will be key. Cases of the Delta variant have been skyrocketing in the past week and are up by 246% in the last 7 days. Hospital occupancy rates also creeping up, but are not yet anywhere near in capacity. Well, the Delta variant is responsible for 95% of all new coronavirus cases on the Côte d'Azur. Public Health France says young adults aged between 20 and 29 are still the most at risk of contracting the virus, with an infection rate of 2,100 per 100,000 people. Other age groups are also being seriously affected, with the infection rates in 10 to 19-year-olds now at 863 per 100,000 people, an increase of 154% in a week, and 788 infections per 100,000 people in the 30 to 39-year-old group, which is an increase of 263% in 1 week alone. Older people are also being affected again, with cases up by 563% in the 70 to 79-year-old age group and by 165% for 80 to 89-year-olds. The variant, which is far more contagious than previous strains, is overwhelmingly responsible for the current fourth wave of the pandemic sweeping across France. Reports say some areas of the country have been unable to keep up with the demand for vaccines, and supplies of Pfizer and Moderna shots are running low in several departments. France reported nearly 27,000 new cases of the virus on Tuesday. The Monaco government has announced that residents and workers will be required to present a health pass at any bar or restaurants in the principality from the 23rd of August. The measure is already in force for visitors from the Alt-Maritime and the Imperia region of Italy, and the government says it has no option but to extend the requirement as cases of COVID-19 rise. Mask wearing is mandatory for everyone over the age of 5 in outdoor spaces, except on beaches and by the side of swimming pools. 15 people are currently being treated in hospital in Monaco for the virus, including 7 residents. The majority have not been vaccinated and are mainly young adults. The price of gas is going up again. From the 1st of August, there will be a 1.6% increase in prices for customers who use gas for cooking only, 3.3% for households using gas for cooking and hot water, and 5.5% for people with gas-fired central heating. Retail gas prices have been rising rapidly over the past few months as the economy picks up and wholesale prices increase. Other factors, including maintenance of North Sea rigs, the increased use of gas to produce electricity, and a colder than usual spring in parts of Europe, have also put pressure on prices. Forest rangers in the Var say the woodland is extremely dry and are urging the public to be extra vigilant over the coming weeks. 85% of forest fires are started by people, either deliberately or by accident, and smokers are some of the worst culprits. Authorities say there are still far too many people casually tossing away cigarette ends from car windows or even in protected woodland areas. They're urging people to think carefully about the consequences of their actions, especially now that the evidence of climate change has become indisputable. Most fires start by the side of a road before spreading to nearby trees and are often the result of careless actions by people in cars or on bikes. And the city of Nice has finally been named as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, highlighting its history as a tourist destination since the 18th century, a winter resort, and its development between 1760 and 1960. The mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, says he's delighted with the news and said that recent efforts to modernise the city and reintroduce green spaces had paid off. A new style of urban planning emerged in Nice in the late 18th century, which transformed the city into a popular year-round resort thanks to its mild winters. Mr. Estrosi says that work to further modernise Nice and to restore its most beautiful older buildings from the Belle Epoque will continue. A bid to make Nice the European capital of culture in 2028 is also underway.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Al Ross at BBC Sport, and Toby Alderweireld is leaving Tottenham. The Premier League side have reached an agreement with Aldo Hel, which will see the defender join the Qatari club. The 32-year-old Belgian flew to Doha for discussions over the move last week. He made 236 appearances in 6 years with Spurs after joining from Atletico Madrid. Alderweireld's contract ran to 2023, but the club's new technical director, Fabio Paratici, together with new manager Nuno Espirito Santo, currently in the process of reshaping their squad. Meanwhile, Manchester United have officially announced that they have agreed a deal with Real Madrid for the French international centre-back Raphael Varane. Our football reporter John Bennett has more.
Their fans getting very excited on social media, and rightly so, because they've agreed a fee with Real Madrid for the France defender Raphael Varane. Initial fee, £34 million, so around $46 million. Final details still to be agreed, but Varane had told Real he had no wish to extend his current contract. It only had a year to run, which is the reason why Real are allowing this to happen. But one of the best defenders in the world, and certainly, Katie, one of the most decorated, 4 Champions League titles while he was in Spain, and he's also won the World Cup as well with France back in 2018.
And meanwhile, Chelsea are closing in on a deal to sign the former Fulham goalkeeper Marcus Bettinelli. The 29-year-old left the Cottagers at the end of last season, so he's a free agent. He'll become Chelsea's third-choice goalkeeper. And on that Chelsea theme, legendary former captain John Terry says he will be forever indebted to Aston Villa boss Dean Smith after leaving his assistant head coach post to pursue management options. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
Oops, pressed the wrong button. We'll do the football first then. Looks like Manchester United are on a bit of a spending spree, doesn't it? Expect them to be challenging next season. It's day 5 of the Olympic Games in Tokyo, with Japan, the USA and China still showing strongly in the medals table. Meanwhile, Team GB has had its best ever start to an Olympic Games, with 5 gold medals now in a total of 15. And the men have won gold in the 200 metres freestyle relay in the pool this morning. And there's action to come in artistic gymnastics, basketball, time trial cycling, fencing, judo, rowing and the rugby sevens, a total of 23 medals being awarded today in the different events. Cricket, the former England fast bowler Mike Hendrick has died at the age of 72. Hendrick took 80 wickets in 30 tests for England between 1974 and 1981. He was part of 3 winning Ashes teams and appeared in 22 one-day internationals. He'd been suffering from bowel and liver cancer for some time. Another boyhood hero gone. Rugby Union, the British and Irish Lions head coach Warren Gatland has named his side for the second test against South Africa on Saturday. Gatland has made 3 changes to the team that breed the Springboks in the first test. Prop Makovinopoulos starts in place of Rory Sutherland, while Conor Murray comes in for Ali Price at scrum half, and Chris Harris replaces Elliot Daly in the centre. Fly half Dan Bigger is named in the starting lineup, but has to pass concussion protocols first, so Owen Farrell is standing by. One more win would give the Lions a famous series victory. The Springboks have also made 3 changes to their side, with Stephen Kitsoff, Frans Malherbe and Jasper Weiss all coming in. And in Formula One, Red Bull have asked for a review of the penalty handed to Lewis Hamilton after he collided with Max Verstappen on the first lap of the British Grand Prix. Hamilton was handed a 10-second penalty through the offence after stewards found he had been predominantly to blame for the incident. Red Bull won the penalty increased, but will have to present new evidence if they want to see the 7-time world champion punished further. Both Red Bull and Mercedes have been summoned to appear before stewards via video link on Thursday. Verstappen required a hospital checkup after the high-speed crash demolished his car and later labelled Hamilton as disrespectful.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaracim and the Var, the general situation is a depression, 1,013 millibars west of Provence, and a ridge of high pressure, 1,018 millibars over the Pyrenees. Now, winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good, barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,014 millibars, and the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good, barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,013 millibars, and the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre.
Partially cloudy with light to moderate southeasterly winds. Temperatures 28 to 30 degrees on the coast, 33 degrees inland in the Var. Overnight lows 21 to 23 degrees with partially cloudy skies. Thursday and Friday mainly fine, highs of 28 to 30 degrees on the coast and up to 33 degrees again inland.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer. Open-air shopping and leisure centre. Shops, restaurants, cinema, casino, gym. There is something for everyone. Only 20 minutes from Monaco and Cannes. Visit polygon-riviera.fr.
Finally, the US government has sold a one-of-a-kind Wu-Tang Clan album, previously owned by a drug firm executive, once dubbed the most hated man in America. Martin Shkreli, who became notorious for hiking the price of a life-saving drug, bought Once Upon a Time in Shaolin for $2 million in 2015. The hip-hop record was marketed by the Wu-Tang Clan as a unique piece of art. Shkreli handed it over to US prosecutors in 2018 after being convicted of defrauding investors. The sale means the former drug firm executive has now fully paid off a $7.4 million forfeiture deal, according to US attorney, acting attorney general Jacqueline Kasulis. But due to a confidentiality agreement with the buyer, prosecutors did not say who had since bought the album from the US government or for how much. Feeling that the value of music had been cheapened by online streaming and piracy, the Wu-Tang Clan decided to release one copy of the album, adopting a 400-year-old Renaissance-style approach to music, offering it as a commissioned commodity. It includes a hand-carved nickel-silver box and a leather-bound manuscript containing lyrics and a certificate of authenticity. But is it worth $2 million? Apparently so.